Escobar will be talking about spatial relationships of cotton pests in South Texas.
Thank you. So, my name is Isaac Escobar, and I'll be talking about the spatial relationships of cotton pests in the South Texas landscape. And like most cotton stories, as much as this section begins with the boll weevil. And all I'm going to mention here about the boll weevil is that with the success of the boll weevil eradication program, we have seen a significantly decreased amount of use of broad-spectrum insecticides, from 10 to 15 calendar sprays a year to about 1 to 5 sprays for various pests. And this has led to an influx of secondary pests, which consists of this new sucking bug complex and consists of stink bugs, plant bugs, and aphids. And it's not necessarily a new complex. they've just been taken care of by the extensive spraying for boll weevil and boll worm in the past and have only become more apparent in the past decade or so. So I'm going to focus on the plant bugs of this complex, which are these two mirrors here on the bottom. And they are the cotton fleahopper and Verde plant bug. The cotton fleahopper is widely distributed throughout the cotton growing regions of southwest and western United States. And it's a pest on pre to early bloom cotton, or the squaring phase of cotton. Verde plant bug, on the other hand, is distributed throughout the Texas and Mexican Gulf coasts, and it's a pest on early to mid bloom cotton. And these, even though these insects are quite small, in high numbers, they can cause a significant amount of damage. For example, cotton fleahoppers can cause square abscission, which leads to a overall reduction in yield. As you can see, here's an example of a stung square on the top right. And the Verde plant bug, on the other hand, they are boll feeders, so they can cause boll abscission and deformed boll development. And the array of pictures here on the bottom are examples of deformed boll development, where you can see one or more locules of cotton failing to mature and produce viable cotton lint, which reduces the overall quality and quantity of the yield. But they also introduce a pathogen that causes boll rot, which also can cause some light staining to complete rotting of the a locule or the whole boll of the cotton lint, which reduces overall quality and quantity of yield. And the interesting thing about these pests is that populations vary from year to year and field to field, so often time is wasted looking in places where they may or may not be. As a consequence, this leads to highly variable pesticide use. For example, one grower may spray his field 5 times, or a grower a few miles away may spray his field only once. So I'm kind of interested in why we see this variation of these pests. And to answer this question, we're going to take a spatial approach to this. And what I mean by spatial, so instead of focusing on the insects themselves and their in-field dynamics, I want to focus on how the juxtaposition of fields and natural habitat throughout the South Texas landscape sort of affects the pest populations of these pests. And a better understanding of this may help land managers in the future investigate areas or certain fields of where that may be of higher susceptibility to these pests. And South Texas is a good area to take a spatial approach because, as you can see, this is an aerial photograph of Clayburgh and Nueces County, which is highlighted in red at the top. And like most of Texas, it's very large and actually quite diverse. As you can see here, we have fallow agricultural fields. We have systems of streams, creeks, and rivers that drain into Baffin Bay, which would be in the lower right-hand quadrant of this image that's not pictured. We also have rangeland, and we have a lot of other oil field and natural habitat. But this aerial photograph also happens to be my study area. So laid out within this Gulf Prairie landscape, we have our agricultural fields, which is my study area. We have access to about 30,000 acres of cotton or agricultural fields, and the main rotating crops here are cotton, obviously, and we have sorghum. And then a lot of these streams and creeks grow a lot of host plants for cotton fleahopper, which is woolly croton, for example. And here's an example of a suede grass, which Verde plant bugs like to overwinter on and use as an alternative host source prior to cotton maturity. And that's found a lot along these rivers and streams. Another thing to note here is the size of these fields. I don't know if you can see the scale bar, but range from about 300 acres to 1,500 acres a field, and they're often more than a kilometer wide. So this kind of sets the stage for this spatial work. And the two main landscape effects I'm interested in investigating are ecotones and edges. An ecotone is the interface of two or more distinct landscape elements, whereas an edge is a distinct border between two land cover types. And with edges, we often hear the term edge effect, which refers to the higher population density and diversity of a species in the outer portion or edge of a field, or patch habitat, in our case it's a field. And unlike a natural ecotone, as we see an example here on the left, in which we have a forest patch slowly transitioning into a grassland patch, there's not really a definite border or a distinct edge to this. It's sort of a natural smooth transition, as opposed to our anthropogenic system, our agricultural setting, where you can see by this example here from Google Earth, we have this fallow cotton field, or what would be a cotton field, with a hard transition and a hard solid edge here that abuts this natural habitat. So to investigate these two effects and whether or not they influence pest density, we took two methods of sampling, one being a transect method and a random point sampling method. For our transects, we constructed two parallel transects 100 meters apart, sampled from the edge of the field inwards to about 300 meters, and we sampled at 0, 10, 15, 25, 100, 200, and 300 meters into the field, and we ended up with a total of 8 parallel transects across 3 fields. As for our random points, we divided fields into portions, and we selected the middle portion for sampling, in which we used the random point generator to select a total of 8 points per area, and we ended up with a total of 88 sampling points across 3 fields. And our main ecotones of interest for both of these sampling methods were are as follows, and are kind of abbreviated in the rest of the presentation, as CC, which is cotton transitioning into cotton, CS, which is cotton transitioning into sorghum, and CN, which is cotton transitioning into natural habitat. And for all samples, we did use a beet bucket method, in which we sampled 40 cotton plants within about a 3-meter radius of our predetermined site for pest population numbers. So let's jump right into our data. And here's a diagram of 2 of 3 of our fields and about 44 of our 88 sampling points. And we can see here by just looking visually at this, the color scheme here goes from dark green, which would be 0 insects per plant, to red, which would be above 0.2 insects per plant. So you can see just by visually looking at this, certain areas of the field appear to have more pest insects than others. So does edge really matter? And upon a simple linear regression analysis, we do see a significant negative relationship between insect density and distance from the field for both cotton fleahopper and verde plant bug, and we get pretty decent R-squared values of about 0.4. But if we look deeper into the scatter, why are those graphs crooked? If we look deeper into the scatter, there appears to be another factor in play. And if we use ecotone as a covariate in our regression analysis, we do see significant ecotone and edge effects. But if we look at fleahopper, which is on the left, we do see this significant ecotone by edge interaction, which would suggest that although there is this edge effect, certain areas of the field or ecotones has a stronger edge effect than the others, and this seems to be driven by the cotton natural habitat ecotone in blue. And we do not see this interaction effect with our verde plant bug data, so we assume they share the same edge effect with as the previous slide. But at least for verde plant bug, if we look at green bowl damage for verde plant bug, we do see a significant negative relationship between bowl damage and distance from the edge of the field. But if you look at the ecotone by edge interaction effect, we get maybe a slightly significant p-value of 0.05, but if we compare this to the previous slide, and that's the p-value of the actual density data with about 0.5, that's a pretty big difference in p-values. This highly probably reflects the highly mobile nature of this insect. They usually see you coming before you actually get to sample these plants, and they take off. So perhaps the green bowl data is where we're actually going to see real population estimates for this bug. So now let's go over to our transects. And again, here's a diagram of 4 of 8 of our transects with about 56 sampling points. And again, much like our random point sampling, we do see trends in the data and where we see higher numbers of insects, certain areas of the field, and perhaps closer to the edge. So now let's actually look at the data. So here is our trans 26 for this last year's field season's data for fleahopper. So we do see, again, this ecotone by edge interaction effect. And that seems to be driven, again, by the cotton natural habitat, as the ecotone effect for cotton natural habitat is different from, say, cotton or sorghum. And we do see this effect again from 2015 transect data on completely different fields in our same area. We do again get the ecotone by edge interaction. Seems again mostly driven by the cotton natural habitat ecotone in blue. But if we look at the verde plant bug data, again we see similar results as our random point sampling. We do not see this significant ecotone by edge interaction, although it's slightly less than our random point sampling. But we do see this sort of a slight separation between our cotton natural habitat ecotone and our cotton or cotton sorghum ecotones. However, it's not statistically significant. But if we look at 2015 transect data, we do get this significant ecotone by edge interaction. And again, that's driven by the cotton natural habitat ecotone, in which we see a high number of verde plant bugs at the edge of the field and sharply decreases as we enter up to 300 meters into the field. And that's probably, again, highly reflective of the mobile nature of this insect. And perhaps maybe in 2015 we actually caught true density data as opposed to this year where the green bowl data might be of better use for us in drawing conclusions. So I'll give a brief summary interpretation of this presentation. So there's a significant negative relationship between the density of insects and edge for both flea hoppers and verde plant bug, and this is stronger when we break it down by ecotone, and it's driven by the cotton natural habitat. We get an ecotone effect for both flea hoppers and verde plant bug, and we get a strong interaction effect between distance and ecotone consistently seen in flea hopper, although we did slightly see it in our damage data for verde plant bug, and we saw in our 2015 verde plant bug transect data. So what does this mean? The spatial relationships of fields should be taken into account when monitoring and controlling cotton flea hopper and verde plant bug. So this sounds all good and gravy, hopefully, if you followed. But how can we use this information now, and how can we use it in the future? So if we look at this graph on the right, it's our same graph from random points for a cotton flea hopper, but I went ahead and added the economic threshold that we use, which is about 0.12 fleas per plant. And you can see we're really only above threshold in points less than 100 meters from the edge and points in the cotton natural habitat ecotone, with a few in the cotton sorghum ecotone. So the question becomes, why need to spray the entire field? So perhaps in the future we can develop and work with our land managers to develop some sort of zone management scheme or a variable rates of spray. But as for now, what we do, we use this information, we create maps, which are a lot of these diagrams that you've seen, and we send this to our grower, and they use this to make their decisions. And they have recently used our data to spray one area of the field twice, which is not what I had in mind to taking away from this data, but it takes you, they appreciate it and they're using it. But for a different press, though, for sugarcane aphid, they did spray one field, because we also do a similar sampling scheme with sugarcane aphid. They did spray a field, only half of a field, which I guess is something compared to the whole field. So it tells you that they are appreciating this work or our data. And with that, I'd like to thank my funding source, the Sierra Celia Fellowship for Cotton Research, South Texas Growers that we work with, Knowledge and Engineering Lab, and everyone who helped me collect samples in the South Texas heat. And I think we have time for questions.
Any questions for Isaac?
Can you repeat that? So we had a certain number of samples, and we sampled them maybe 4 to 5 times for the season. Yeah. So I mean, it's an active farming operation, so they do spray. So we do see reduced numbers, but the flea hoppers, for example, are pretty resilient. So they're back within a week and a half. But the numbers are kind of consistent to what we saw before they had sprayed.
All right. Thank you, Isaac.
Thank you.